Invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can see it on the screen there. Those of you watching from home, well, if you're watching from here too. 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 9 through 11, a message I've entitled for Mother's Day, Mother Hannah. Mother Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Please stand with me out of honor to God and His word as I read. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and praying to the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Thank you. May be seated. Mother Hannah, happy Mother's Day. Again, I've already said it once. I'll probably say it a couple more times before we're done here. But to all our mothers, and some folks are not mothers, but they've been like a mother to somebody. We want to include all of them as well. But you know, sometimes motherhood is not so easy. It can be quite harrowing at times. In fact, I heard a story. And there was this man, he observed a woman in the grocery store with a three-year-old girl in her shopping basket. As they passed the cookie section, the child asked for cookies, and her mother told her no. The little girl immediately began to whine and fuss, and the mother said quietly, Now, Ellen, we just have a few aisles left to go through. Don't be upset. It won't be long. The man passed the mother again in the candy aisle, and of course, the little girl began to shout for candy. When the girl was told she couldn't have any candy, she began to cry. The mother said, There, there, Ellen, don't cry. Only two more aisles to go, and then we'll be checking out. The man again happened to go behind the pair at the checkout, where the little girl began to clamor for gum and burst into terrible tantrum upon discovering there'd be no gum today. The mother patiently said, Ellen, we'll be through this checkout stand in 5 minutes, and then you can go home and have a nice nap. Well, the man followed them out to the parking lot and stopped the woman to compliment her. He said, I couldn't help but noticing how patient you were with little Ellen there. The mother looked at him with a confused look on her face. She said, I'm Ellen. This little heathen's name is Tammy. Let's look at Mother Hannah. First of all, I want you to see that she prayed. She prayed. Now, why did she pray? Well, and we see that here in verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord. Well, she prayed because she was barren. Hannah was barren. She didn't have any children. And she was ridiculed as a result of the fact that she didn't have any children because barrenness was considered a curse or punishment from God in that day. So if you were a woman who didn't have children, people said, God's mad at you. God's got it in for you, and that's why you're barren. And so she was ridiculed because she was barren. And indeed, God had closed Hannah's womb. Look down in verse 5. It said, But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And so very clearly, God caused her to not be able to have any children. Let me stop and say here that God authorizes every child that is conceived. God authorizes every child that is conceived. And every child is a precious gift from God, regardless of the circumstances under which they were conceived. Why some children are conceived and others are not, we cannot answer this side of heaven. But know this, that God has a purpose in all He allows and all He does not allow. And even though God had stopped up Hannah's womb, there's no indication here that God disapproved of Hannah or of her husband Elkanah. But it's kind of funny here, and probably it'll irritate you ladies. Elkanah tried to console Hannah. He knew she wanted to have a child, as women would have had in that day and still in our day. So he tries to console her in verse 8. In fact, let me read it there. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why are you weeping, and why aren't you eating, and why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And so he tries to, it sounds kind of boastful here too. He tries to console his wife. He said, don't cry, don't starve, don't grieve. You've got me. Well, though she didn't have a child, she did have a husband who loved her. And that's certainly very important. But notice she prayed and wept. Look in verse 10. It says, she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She prayed and wept. You know, a problem worth crying about is worth praying about. If you're going to take the time to cry about something, you better take the time to pray about that same something. But so often we shed many tears but share very few prayers. If you're going to cry about it, if it's worth crying about, it's worth praying about. And so here she was praying and crying. God may or may not change our situation, but God will comfort us through our situation. And notice as she's praying, look in verse 11, she says, look on the affliction, that word look there. The word look means literally in the Hebrew to look at with favor and interest. And so she's telling God, hey, God, you know, up to this point I have no children, and I kind of feel like you've been ignoring me or haven't been hearing me, but now I want you to look upon me. I want you to look upon me with interest. I want you to look upon me with favor. And notice in verse 11, she calls herself God's handmaid. You see that? In fact, she says it three times in verse 11. She says, look on the affliction of your handmaid, and do not forget your handmaid, but give your handmaid a man-child. She calls herself a handmaid. Now, what's a handmaid? Well, a handmaid is a servant. This was indicating her absolute surrender to God. God, I'm totally giving myself to you as your servant, as your slave. This is all in your hands. By the way, Mary used the very same language. Mary used the same language in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. When the angel comes and tells Mary that she's going to bear the Christ child, Mary is very confused about how this is all going to work. She's not married and so on. But when the angel sort of explains it to her, she says, okay, I'm your handmaid, Lord. I'm your servant. Whatever you want. A servant can ask, but must live with the master's will. And so that's where Hannah was. She says, I'm asking. I'm asking for what I want here. But I know I can only ask. What happens is whatever the master desires. Notice that Hannah asked for a son in particular. She didn't just ask for a child. You know, in our day and time, a lot of folks, sometimes folks find out what the baby's going to be, what gender it's going to be before the birth. Others don't want to know. And they'll say this, I just want to have a healthy child. That's all that really matters to me, a healthy child. And certainly we all agree with that. But she got real specific here. She wanted a boy. What in the King James here, verse 11, a man child is called. Why did Hannah ask God? Because she knew that all life comes from God. She knew that every child is a precious gift from God. And one of the many things that makes abortion so heinous is that abortion is rejecting God's precious gift of life. But notice in verse 11 too, to whom Hannah directed her prayer. She prays to the Lord of hosts. You see that? Lord of hosts. Now, that word host there means angels or armies. She was appealing to God's power, recognizing her own inability. God, I can't do anything about my situation. I need you to intervene. I need you to do something about my problem. Hannah prayed for a child. But I wonder, do you pray for yours? If you have children, Hannah prayed for a child. Do you pray for your children? I have children, and I pray for my children daily. And more than anything, I pray that my children will live their lives faithfully for Jesus Christ and serve Him through their church. I don't pray that they get good jobs. I don't pray that they have lots of money. I don't pray that they have great success in life. I pray that my children live their lives faithfully for Jesus Christ and serve Him through His church. They don't have to become preachers or missionaries to please me, just servants. And serving His church comes in all shapes and sizes. They might be a preacher or missionary. They might be a Sunday school teacher or deacon. They might sing in the choir or play in the orchestra. They might clean up after church. You know, I don't really care. Far be it from me to tell God how to use my children. But I pray for them daily, that they live their lives faithfully for Jesus Christ and serve Him through their church. Hannah recognized children as gifts. That's why she asked God, the gift giver. She recognized children as gifts, and Hannah understood that motherhood is a gift as well. I wonder, moms, do you recognize your children and your motherhood as the gifts that they are? Or do you see them rather as an annoyance? Now, I know kids can be annoying. I know that. I get that. And especially during this time of pandemic where some of you moms are with your kids 24/7. I know. But do you see your children as the gifts they are? Do you see your motherhood as the gift that it is? For while kids can be annoying, and even mothers can be annoying at times, both are a gift from God. And so we are right to celebrate motherhood in general, and our individual mothers in particular today. If your moms are still living, I hope you, I know it's kind of difficult what you might be able to do during this difficult time, but maybe at least give them a call, or maybe you send them a card or something like that. But it is right to celebrate motherhood in general and our individual mothers in particular today. And so we see Mother Hannah, she prayed. Secondly, I want you to see that she promised. She promised. She promised to give her child back to the Lord. She said, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Do you see that in verse 11? Towards the end it says, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she promised to give her child back to the Lord, and she promised to raise her child as a Nazarite. Now, it doesn't say that there. What it says, the last phrase there, is no razor will come upon his head. She says, I'm going to give him back to you. I'm going to raise him as a Nazarite. Now, the Nazarene vow or Nazarite vow was a special separation for a man or woman. In fact, the word Nezer, from which we get Nazarite, Nezer in the Hebrew means separated. This was a voluntary, total consecration of service to God for a specific period of time. And so somebody might choose 6 months to make a Nazarite vow. They might choose a year. They might choose a lifetime. In fact, a couple lifers that we know that were Nazarites for life, Samson, he's a very famous Nazarite for life. John the Baptist, a very famous Nazarite for life. Now, here were the requirements of the Nazarite vow. Number one that we see here, no haircuts. So for the time of your vow, no haircuts. And by the way, during this time of the corona pandemic, we all are starting to look like Nazarites, aren't we? Except for Mike. Mike, he took it all off. Go ahead, boy. But anyway, the requirements were no haircuts, no wine, couldn't drink any wine, and you couldn't touch anything dead. And so for this period of time, whether it was 6 months, a year, or your life, whatever the time period was, you could not have your hair cut, you could not drink any wine, and you could not touch anything dead. And so what Hannah says, God, you give me a boy, I'm going to give him back to you as a Nazarite. This child would be Levite by birth and Nazarite by vow. Now here's something I think really interesting too, and that is that Hannah is the only woman recorded in the Old Testament to make a vow to God. Now, I'm not saying she's the only woman in the Old Testament to make a vow, but she is the only woman recorded in the Old Testament to make a vow. And so when you know this is the singular vow made by a woman in the Bible, we better pay attention to it. But understand this, Hannah was not trying to strike a bargain with God. I know it sort of looks like that. God, you give me what I want, and I'll give you what you want. It sounds like she's trying to strike a bargain with God. But know this, people cannot bargain with God. Because bargains require that each side offer something to the other. And so if you're going to strike a bargain with somebody, you sit down on opposite sides of the table. You say, well, I'll give you this, and you give me that, and you negotiate. But people can't bargain with God. You know why? Because we have nothing to offer to God. There's no bargaining with God. She was not bargaining. She was making a vow. You said, no, she was bargaining because she offered to give her son. Well, where did that son come from in the first place? God? Samuel was all, well, we didn't name him yet, but this child was already from God. It was already his, just like everything else. Now, we Baptists use baby dedication as an opportunity to make a public vow to raise our children as Christians. We don't baptize babies, but we do use baby dedication as an opportunity to make a public vow to raise our children as Christians. We realize we can't make our children believe, but we can raise them in the faith. Fathers in particular have this responsibility. Paul writes about this in Ephesians 6:4. He says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When we dedicate babies, the dedication is not about salvation, but about saturation. Saturating our children in the faith. Now, I will tell you that Debbie and I have kept our vows. It's just a public statement here. Debbie and I have kept our vows. We raised all three of our children in the faith. And we dedicated them. Now, our older two, we adopted them. They were older when they became part of our family. They were I don't know, like 5 and 7 or something like that, years old. But we still had a dedication. We came forward and we stood before the church and we said, we will raise these children in the faith. And then when Karis came along 10 years later, Dad, who's also a reverend, he helped us dedicate Karis. And I'm just telling you right now, publicly, we dedicated our children to the Lord and we have kept our vows. And if you, moms, have dedicated your children, are you saturating them? Or are you skimping, giving only the bare minimum? Well, yeah, we go to church at Christmas, and when my husband and I want to go out to eat, you know, we'll drop them by Awana, and that's a good thing. Or maybe Sunday school, if we get around to it, if we get up in time, we might take them to Sunday school. Are you saturating your children in the faith? Or are you skimping, just giving enough to get by? If you dedicated your children, are you saturating them? If you did not dedicate your children, do so now. Dedicate your children to the Lord now. You say, Brother Gary, you're out of your mind. My kids are grown. Hey, their age is irrelevant. Two of mine are 28 and 26 years old. And I pray for them daily. And as I have opportunity, I saturate them in the faith. Give them to the Lord. Regardless of their age, give them to the Lord and continue to set a lifetime example for them. So Hannah prayed and Hannah promised. Thirdly, I want you to see that Hannah produced. Hannah conceived a baby by natural means. Look in verse 20. It says, therefore, when it came to pass, the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son. And so she conceived a baby by natural means. She and her husband had normal relations. How do I know? Look in verse 19. It says there, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. Knew there is a euphemism in the King James for marital relations. It says Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And so she conceived a baby by natural means. She and her husband had normal relations. And by the way, this is God's intention and expectation. God had reserved the physical relationship for marriage only. Look what the writer of Hebrews puts in Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. While unmarried relations are possible and can be fruitful, God is not pleased with them. Men are to become husbands before they become fathers. Women are to become wives before they become mothers. Having said that, we all commend those who are unmarried parents who choose life for their offspring. Well, God miraculously made this act between Elkanah and Hannah fruitful. In fact, if you look in verse 19, it says, the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. God made the act fruitful. It always takes God to make life. He is the giver of life. Lots of places we see that in the scriptures, but Job 1:21, Job says, the Lord has given. And he goes on to say, the Lord hath taken away. But the Lord is the giver of life. Sadly, scientists reduce conception and birth to a totally natural process with astronomical odds of success. Scientists will tell you all the biology. They'll explain all the different intricacies of how this works and that works and how so on. And they'll tell you, by odds, it really can't, is not even possible for a child to be conceived. But you know, God doesn't care what the odds are. Yes, God created this whole biological process, but then it takes Him to actually make life. He remembered Hannah. Indeed, conception and birth are truly examples of God's greatness and majesty. David writes about that. Here in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought on the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as when yet there was none of them yet. And so David, describing in poetic form how God is involved in the whole process of conception and birth. Well, Hannah names her son Samuel. Samuel means heard of God. If you look at verse 20, it says there, after Hannah conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And so Samuel means heard by God. Hannah said, you know, I asked God, and God heard me, and so I'm going to name my son Heard of God, because she asked for him. His name would be a constant reminder of his origin. Whenever she would call out Samuel, that would remind her where he came from. My oldest brother has the same name for the same reason. My oldest brother's name is Samuel, and Mom and Dad decided to name him Samuel for the very reason we see here in the Scriptures. Now, here's an interesting family note from my family. My brother's son, Sam, my brother's son, just named his daughter Hannah, but he had no idea of my brother's namesake. You might say, well, how could he not know? Well, that's a whole other story, but I'm telling you, Samuel, my brother Sam, was named after Samuel in the Bible for this very reason, and totally ignorant of that, My brother's son, named his daughter Hannah. It's just neat how God works things like that out. Anyway, Hannah prayed. Hannah promised. Hannah produced. Lastly, I want you to see that Hannah presented. Hannah kept her promise to God. Hannah raised Samuel until he was weaned. Look at verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. She kept her promise to God. Remember, she said, God, if you give me a boy, I'll give him back to you. And as soon as he's weaned, she gives him back to God. Now, I am sure during this time period after Samuel is born and before she takes him to Shiloh, I'm sure she told Samuel all about God. I'm sure she told Samuel about his future, that she was going to be giving him back to the Lord. I'm sure she told him about his past, how I was not able to have children, and then I prayed and asked God, and here you are. You know, children are never too young to learn. And I'm sure Hannah was telling Samuel, even when he was just goo goo gaga in her arms, she was still telling him all about his past, his future, and all about God. And so she took Samuel to Eli and left him there to minister. Look in verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And look down in chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And so Hannah, just like she promised, she takes Samuel to Eli and leaves him there to minister. She offered her only son in a heart-wrenching, living sacrifice. How hard must that have been? To take your only child, and you prayed for this child. This is a special child. And then you take him to this town far away, and you just leave him. It was a heart-wrenching, living sacrifice. Samuel served God with Eli the priest in Shiloh. And Samuel became a key figure in Israel's history. He became a great prophet and a great judge in Israel. He became the transitional character between the judges and the monarchy. Samuel is the one who anointed Israel's first two kings, King Saul and King David. By the way, Mary and Joseph presented Jesus in the temple, according to the law, after Jesus was born. Luke chapter 2 and verse 22, it says there, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so Hannah brings her child to God. Mary and Joseph bring their child to God. You never know what God will do with those who are dedicated to Him. You never know what God is going to do with those who are dedicated to Him. Samuel became a great man of God. Jesus became the Savior of the world. And by the way, Jesus is the Savior of the world. But do you realize, unless he is your personal Savior, the fact that he is the Savior of the world does you no good? You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried for your sins, and the third day he rose again from the dead. And when you truly believe and truly receive him as your Savior, then the fact that he's Savior of the world has impact in your own personal life and your own eternity. Again, you never know what God will do with those who are dedicated to him. And remember this, anything we give to God, he first gave to us. Anything we give to him, he first gave to us. Look at 1 Chronicles 29:14. As Solomon is dedicating the temple, he says, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from you, and from your own have we given back to you." And so when we give God something, whether it's a child or money or anything, we're just giving him what was already his in the first place. And so Hannah offers Samuel in this heart-wrenching living sacrifice. And again, it would have been so difficult for her as a mom to do that. But I want you to see that God gives Hannah the ability to rejoice in him despite her loss. Look in chapter 2 and verse 1. After she leaves Samuel with the priest, it says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation.'" God gives Hannah the ability to rejoice in him despite her loss. Hannah praises the giver, not the gift. Her focus is not on whom she lost, but on whom she had all along. I wonder, back to you moms, are you keeping your dedication vows? If you dedicated your children to God, are you keeping those vows? Well, first of all, it's beneficial to you. Because God expects us to keep our vows. Whatever they might be, whether it's a child or marriage or anything, God expects us to keep our vows, and God holds us accountable when we don't. And God blesses us when we do keep our vows. So remember, Hannah could never have any children. She finally asks God, and he gives her one. And then, just as promised, she gives that child back. She kept her vow, and look how God blessed her. Chapter 2 and verse 21. "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And so she kept her vow, she kept her promise, and God blessed her. So yeah, she left her one and only son there with Eli the priest, but then she got 5 more kids. This one who was previously barren. It is beneficial to you to keep your vows, but it's also beneficial to your children. Other than salvation, there's no greater blessing for a child than to be raised in a Christian home by Christian parents who are saturating their children in the faith. Again, salvation is the greatest blessing. But second to it, and we just sang this hymn this morning, God give us Christian homes. I was raised in a Christian home. I don't know if you were or not. I hope you were. If you weren't, I'm sorry to say you missed out on one of life's greatest blessings. But regardless of whether you were raised in a Christian home or not, you can start raising your children, no matter their age, in a Christian home from this day forward. And one more thing, and that is that giving your child to the Lord means you get to keep them forever. When you give your children to the Lord, that means you get to keep them forever. Now, Hannah lent Samuel to God for his lifetime. Look in verse 28. It says, "Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." Hannah lent Samuel to God for his lifetime. She somehow knew she would have Samuel for eternity. Because that's what happens when you give your children to the Lord. You get to keep them. And so I want to wish all our moms a happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a great day. Again, whatever you're able to do in these uncertain times, Even if it's just to sit there and reflect on the fact that, wow, my motherhood is a blessing. My children are a blessing. However you celebrate this Mother's Day, my prayer is that it will be a happy one. And as we reflect on Mother Hannah, remember, she prayed. She promised. She produced. And she presented. Dedicate your motherhood. Dedicate your children to the Lord. And God will bless you. And most importantly, moms, dads, children, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him today. Believe in Him now. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried for your sins, rose again the third day for you. And you will be saved. And God will bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for our moms. They are absolutely a gift from You. And of course, we who are children, we're a gift from You as well. Thank You for being so gracious, so giving. Teach us from the life of Hannah, we pray. And bless this invitation in Jesus' name.